In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So one of the challenges of today's reading is to understand what St. Paul means by the firstborn of all creation. This phrase was misused by the Arians in the 4th century to support their claim that the Son of God was a creature, even if a creature by which all other creatures were made. So refutations of the Arians argued that firstborn referred only to the human nature, and that creation referred to the new creation. So that is to say that Jesus is the firstborn of the new creation. Now, the difficulty of this reading is that the phrase occurs in a part of this Christ hymn in Colossians, which refers to the beginning of all things, not just the new creation. Other refutations say that firstborn, or other explanations of this passage, say that firstborn refers to preeminence or privilege, not necessarily to ordinal ranking. So that is to say, Christ is called firstborn here not because he comes into existence in time before everyone else, but because he has God's special love and favor in contrast, or in some kind of contrast, to all of creation. Now, this is certainly a faithful and plausible explanation, but I would suggest that we not be too quick to discard the possibility that this refers to Jesus, man and God, and to the first creation of all things. For one thing, this creed, or Christ hymn, begins by referring to Christ as the icon of the invisible God, where icon's plain meaning refers to visible image or likeness of someone. Secondly, the fleshly character of Christ here is obviously very significant and important to St. Paul in this hymn that he is presenting. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the firstborn from the dead. He reconciled the body, or by the body of flesh. And the fullness of deity dwells in his person particularly, that is, the person who made peace by his blood, that is, blood of flesh. Now, for my part, when I'm stuck in exegesis, I like to ask the experts, that is to say, the little children. Now, many of them will look at me when they hear a passage like this, kind of blankly, and sometimes I have to make the passage a little more concrete to elicit a response. But usually I get a good insight that I hadn't thought of before. So here goes. I have a young girl in my Sunday school class who, whenever she hears an account of an Old Testament theophany, she always refers to the theophany as Jesus. Most recently, for example, when telling the story of Moses at the burning bush, she kept saying things like, the bush didn't burn because Jesus was in it, and or burn up because Jesus was in it, and Jesus called out to Moses from the burning bush. Now, of course, she's not alone in this, as many children will talk this way. And sometimes this kind of gets laughed away as the Sunday school answer. Well, Jesus is always the right answer. Okay, but I am struck at how insistent she is in always using the name Jesus whenever retelling stories about God in the Old Testament. The kicker, though, I think, and what's most interesting in all of this, is whenever she's retelling a story about Jesus in the Gospels, so some account of what Jesus is doing, she switches, and she uses the word God to refer to Jesus. Now, distinguishing the natures is not so important to her as her confidence in the life of work of Jesus, right? This man who is God. She doesn't have the language to speak of natures and hypostasis and communication of attributes. But, in fact, she confesses the same thing just as clearly. When the Bible tells a story of Jesus, she confesses him to be God. She sees that besides the man obvious in the story, this person is God working out salvation. Likewise, when the Bible tells us of God's supernatural appearances to men, she calls God Jesus, because besides the obvious divinity in the story, God is the one who is for us, who has worked out our salvation. That is to say, Jesus. Jesus reconciling in his flesh by his death we who were alien, hostile, and evil. What this little girl confesses, is she saying more than what Luther summarized famously? Wherever this person is, it is the single indivisible person, and if you can say, here is God, then you must also say Christ the man is present too. And if you could show me one place where God is and not the man, then the person is already divided, and I could at once say truthfully, here is God who is not a man and has never become a man, but no God like that for me. Now, how might we try to understand this when we also recognize and confess that Jesus was born in time in a specific place? Indeed, it cannot be that Christ's flesh of itself is from eternity. His flesh is conceived by the Holy Spirit. It's born of the Virgin Mary about 2,020 years ago in Nazareth, and conceived there in Nazareth and then born in Bethlehem. His flesh itself is not a supernatural flesh, not some kind of special humanity that he had in heaven and brought with him to earth. Whatever that possibly could mean, for in the Bible, the earth is the place of matter, of flesh. So indeed, that Jesus has true human flesh conceived and born here on earth is part of what comforts us. For it is our flesh, yours and mine, the flesh of humanity that Christ takes. Our flesh, our humanity that suffers for sin. Our flesh and our humanity that rises unto new life, reconciled to God. In him, in his flesh, you are presented holy, blameless, and above reproach. And so rather, we simply recognize and confess that what was born in time and place has received the divine glory and eternity. Where God is, there Jesus is, with his flesh for us and our reconciliation. God's flesh has become, in some way, eternal. And thus, Jesus, in his body, holds all things together. The confession of a little child. It is the confession of Jesus, the God-man. It is the confession of Christ, the rock, journeying with the Israelites. It is Jesus' own proclamation, before Abraham was born, I am. It is the two natures united in one hypostasis. However you confess this of him, he is the one who holds you together. He is your preeminent one, your head, your reconciler, your peacemaker. Behold the image of God, the firstborn of all creation. And to this Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.